This episode of Boop is brought to you in part by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Get 10% off your account at squarespace.com by using the code BOOP, that's B-O-O-P, for 10% off at squarespace.com. It's the Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for the 19th of January, 2016. Let's do this. Something. You hear that? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. 19th of January, 2016. We're in the thick of it, man. There's no turning back. This is it. This is the month. It's almost over. Only 11 more to go till we're right back to where we started. Let's not think of it that way, shall we? Been playing Blade and Soul. Not Soul Blade. Blade and Soul. What's this you're wondering? A Korean MMO being published by NCSoft. It is free to play. They have buy-in methods where you can get a bunch of stuff extra if you pay, or I think they're going to have a monthly sort of premier members thing. They're aiming it to be kind of MMO fair in lots of ways, but also competitive arena fighter. And the best I can tell is the way that they're trying to pull this off is by making the characters feel a bit like you're playing like Street Fighter or a fighting game. And I don't know that I've played enough and certainly haven't done any PvP yet, so I can't really speak to that. But it does kind of look like it. Like it feels very, standard 2D Capcom style fighter. It's a Korean game, which means the good Lord, the writing and dialogue is horrible. It's awful. Laughably so therefore it's kind of good, but it's nothing to take seriously, but otherwise kind of cool. Like it's all martial arts focused and fisticuffs and very Asian flair, non-standard fantasy setting, which I like as a nice change. Graphically very nice, lots of custom options, looks really good. There's some parts of it that look amazing, and then other parts you're like, dude, who made the water in this lotion, or who made that crappy looking building? Like there's some inconsistencies there, but seems real solid. I played it during the sort of pre-launch period there. They had an early access thing starting on the 15th, and I played a bit during that. And it's cool. I'm going to keep going back for a bit, I believe. It's gonna take some of my attention, that there game. That is when Diablo Season 5 hasn't got its teeth sunk way deep into my neck. It feels really good, and I have to say, it feels faster. So I had this deal with myself, which I'll detail on an upcoming episode of the Diablo show, but the brief version of it is this. I didn't want to play it the way I usually do these seasons, and this is how this usually goes. I'll get in, and I'll start playing, and you start new characters. That's the whole season thing. And somebody will hop online and go, dude, run with us. We're power leveling people. And I'll go, oh, okay, fine. I'll go in there. And like a flash in the night, 65 levels will go by on my way to 70 in no time flat without me having to do anything. And I'm not looking at what my abilities are. I'm not ruining them. I'm not playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. I'm just ripping through this stuff. I have no gear to speak of that matters. You just are being power leveled. You're being carried. And I hate that. I don't want to do that anymore. I've done that at least 3 of the last 4 seasons. The first season I didn't. I don't want to play that way anymore. So I've decided that I'm going to play Diablo the way that I started playing Diablo 1, then 2, and even 3. And that is on my own, solo, nobody there to bug me, nobody there to try to rush me through. Take my time, enjoy the content, enjoy the way the class feels, experiment with runes, really mess around with them instead of just ripping through it. And I gotta say, 2 things are a big surprise to me. 1, how much I'm enjoying that. I really am. I've always said, and I, you know, as much as I like the emphasis on multiplayer in that game, I've always played it like Metroid. I'm the lone hero in a vast world, and I have to do this by myself kind of feeling. I'm isolated, you know, that kind of thing. I'm a big fan of that approach to the game. So that's how I've always played those. going back to those roots feels really good in there. And the second thing I noticed, which surprised me, is how much faster it's all going, despite the fact that I'm on my own and not, you know, not min-maxing with other players. I'm moving right along. 35 levels in just a few hours of play. So it doesn't seem like they're penalizing me as much as I felt like they used to for wanting to go things solo. So anyway, very cool. Lots of nice refinements. If you like Diablo, then you're in, all into this already, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But if you're not, if you never were or don't like it, then you're not. I mean, this is more of the same. So don't get too excited. But as a player, I like it a lot. And then I got to share one quick thing before we jump into the headlines today, and that's this. I'm really bugged by this. I got suckered into buying an iOS game. Like, you say, well, Scott, how do you get suckered into that? That's on you, dude. You had to enter the password or do the thumbprint thing. You had to go in there and get it, didn't you? I say to that, yes. But here's the problem. They posted all over the place, all the blogs that cover, like, portable gaming and mobile gaming and stuff, and said, we're only ever going to sell 1.5 million of these. After that, it was like $2.99, $3 for this game. Didn't know much about it other than the brief description, some sort of roguelike digger style combo thing. And they said, yeah, we're only going to sell that many, and then it's off the store. We're taking it off. And I thought, oh, well, I'm just going to be a dumb consumer and assume that I need to get it. Everything must go, right? There's some artificial scarcity here. I better get on this before it's gone. So I went and bought it. And it's a terrible video game. It's bad. I have no way to refund it. I'm completely irritated by it. I can't believe I fell for that. I'll never do that again. Ever. In fact, you just say, if you say it all before your game's even out, yeah, we have this limited window where you can get it. Well, what are you even making? Like, now I'm thinking about it all logically. In retrospect, in 2020, it makes sense. But at the time, I was like, well, that's about the price of a Big Mac. I can do that. I mean, it's still only $3. Big deal, right? We'll live. Everyone will live. It's a gallon and a half of gasoline, whatever. It's just not that big a deal. But I feel duped. I will not be duped again. And all you mobile gaming blogs, you helped facilitate this, so quit it. Not even going to tell you the name of the damn thing. If I do, you might go out and try to get it. I don't want to encourage that. It's bad behavior, man. The Assassin's Creed film finished up filming. They wrapped, and they all took a big group photo in front of a big green screen. That should make you a little nervous when your entire wrap photo is in front of the biggest green screen I've ever seen. Just saying, if you like those practical effects, you may not be getting as many of those in this Assassin's Creed film as you'd hope, but Michael Fassbender looking cool. I remain upbeat about that movie and its potential for me to be entertained by it, so fingers crossed, baby. HoloLens will reportedly run for 5+ hours under a heavy load. This from Microsoft. All right, I got a question about that. If I approached you and said, hey, I got this hot new product. It's an electronic thing. How do you feel about it lasting 5.5 hours? Well, where do I put it, Scott? Oh, you wear it on your head, Scott, or man asking me this question. Oh, okay. What does it do? Oh, well, it augments reality. Things in front of you appear to be moving around and doing stuff, and you can manipulate objects in the air and in theory and blah, blah, blah. How long do you need that to work for you? Oh, I don't know. Hour, 2 hours? How about I tell you 5.5? Sold! Actually, I think that's a big benefit. And they're saying under heavy load, though they did not get into too much detail about what heavy load might represent. Is that a bunch of virtual spreadsheets in the sky? Is that a bunch of gaming stuff? Is that, I don't know. What is that? Minecrafting all afternoon? It's interesting though, right? Heavy load, 5.5 hours, not bad. Brian Horton got pulled from the Tomb Raider project and hired at Infinity Ward. Seems like a strange move. Now, when I first read this, my brain wanted to force it to say Naughty Dog because it makes sense, right? One of your big shot lead artist guys leaves a very critically acclaimed series, this new Tomb Raider series, and gets thrown on to, you know, I don't know, future Uncharted games. That would make sense to me. But nope, we're talking about Infinity Ward. These are the Call of Duty people, or what remains of them, over at Activision. And off he goes. So sad, too bad. However, and did you guys... I guess I talked about it last week, but I had no idea they were going to release the PC version of Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, so quickly on PC. And that's like, what, a week away? Not even that? Is it about 8 days? 7 days? Well, about a week. Yeah, like I got time. Like I have a, like I don't have a pile of 15 unfinished video games just stare at me in the face right now. This is bad. Never going to get to it. John Romero made a new Doom level. This is after 22 years since he's done one of these. You know John Romero, old co-founder of id Software there. Final level of Doom 2, you could go inside a secret room and shoot his face. I have kind of a local connection to these guys because they used to be based around here. Anyway, long and the short of it is, he made a new level and you can go get it. He made it using, what's this thing called? Common Doom level making tools is how they say it. And I am not linking you to this. You want to just go to the internet. They have the Google. Search John Romero, new Doom level. You'll freaking find it. But it reminded me of my old Doom making levels and how excited I was with a bunch of my friends at a company we worked for to recreate our office. It was basically a big warehouse slash office combination thing. And turn it, take that design and turn it into a Doom level. And we had everything from like conference room, the office of the boss, the bathrooms. We had toilets we made. Just don't forget, there was no prefabricated Doom toilets. You had to make one out of, like, you know, geometry in the game, or more like vertices in the game because it wasn't exactly 3D. Anyway, we built a replica of the building and ran around and shot each other, and it was fan-freaking-tastic. I want to go back to then and relive those days because it was a good time. Anybody else playing this new Star Trek mobile RPG thing that came out? Star Trek Timelines, it's called. I fired that thing up, and Q starts talking. And comes out, there's art of him in his stupid hat, like the Farpoint judge hat and clothes and stuff. And he starts going, what would happen if you started mixing all this stuff up? And what if Picard and Kirk were hanging out, and freaking Janeway and Sulu were on a mission together, and... It's actually kind of rad. I mean, it's got free-to-play trapping crap in it, but I would recommend picking it up and trying it. It's on Android and iOS, and you get to do the impossible, which is, you know, send Spock and Worf on the same mission. It's all because Q's dinking around with timelines and mishmashing everybody. In fact, at one point, Worf, like regular Worf, I took him on a mission where he had to fight angry jerk Worf. If that makes sense. Guy that was kind of like what Worf would have turned out like had he not gone into the Federation and become whatever. He remained more like a warlord guy. I don't know. If you like Star Trek, dude, I think that thing's totally worth checking out. It's pretty weird, though. Star Trek Timelines, that's the name. And it's got RPG stuff. You know, things you like. You already know you're going to like it, so just go try it. More than $133 million crowdfunded on Kickstarter in the year of 2015. These numbers were just released. That's 76% better than the year before, or higher than the year before. That's a lot of money, but in the big scheme of things, that's less than what a Call of Duty costs to make. Like a new Call of Duty is around $200 million. So $133 million for an entire year of Kickstarter doesn't seem like a lot in that context, but... That's lots of smaller projects getting made. Leading the charge on that, of course, was Shenmue 3. That's 6 million. But yeah, if you're looking for, I don't know, growth market in video game money, I guess Kickstarter shows that there can be a part of the market sector that'll do that. I wonder if that new thing's going to do anything next year or this year. What's it called now? Fido, Fibo, Rebo, Monaco... Chicklet. What's it called? It's the one where they got the Double Fine guys doing his game there. I can't think of the name of the thing. Pico. Lormo. Bismormo. The Division. Speaking of the 28th of this month, The Division, the beta finally kicks off. You guys ready for that? Tom Clancy's The Division in a near future chaotic, not apocalyptic world, but a, what do you call it? Everything's all gone crazy and, you know, militias this and gun guy that. I'm hearing a lot of comparisons to Destiny, or at least how Destiny plays. So if that's true, concern anybody? Does that bother you? I mean, if you like Destiny, you probably aren't bothered by that, but are you a little bug that maybe they just took that template and said, we're doing a game like the way Destiny did one? I don't know. I'm partially bugged by it. It seems a little petty of me, but something about it. Anyway, 28th, The Division. Catch it. Be a part of it. Go for it. EA Origin Access. It's kind of old now, but I wanted to bring it up. $4.99 a month. You don't get the full catalog. It's like their EA Access or All Access or whatever they call it on consoles. I don't know that that's been that successful. You don't hear a lot of rave reviews about their stock price or how well the access program has gone on consoles. So I don't know how it's going to do here, but on PCs, I actually think it's a decent deal. $5 a month isn't too bad. The problem is, what I want is a Netflix subscription. I want Steam to come out and say, hey, we're Valve and we have a subscription service and it's now, I don't know, whatever it is. It's 20 a month, let's say. Seems right to me. And you'll have access to any one game at any time you want. One at a time, but any game you want at any given time of the month. Or something like that. When that service hits, we're all the bets are off. And they'll need to do that right too, whoever does it, if it's Valve or somebody else. $4.99 for a limited piece of your what is available content. I don't know if I'm ready to do that. Not another subscription. Tack that on top of Netflix and Hulu and everything else I got. I mean, it's only $5. I could have given them that $3 I spent on that iOS game. Oh, don't get me started. Hey, that Prime thing's a good deal. Speaking of saving money, at least I think it is. In an effort to compete with big box stores like Best Buy and, well, to some degree, GameStop and others, where they have a lot of loyalty plans already in place and they've been working on those for years. It looks like Amazon is getting into that business on physical boxed games. We're not talking about digital downloads here. But physically boxed games, like a straight-up disc for your PlayStation, your Xbox, or even PCs, or cartridges, or any of that stuff, you get 20% off any new boxed games for 2 weeks after the release of the product. So, brand new game comes out, you within the first 2 weeks of it being out, you belly up to Amazon, you throw them your money, and you get 20% off any title, but it again has to be discs. I'm a little bugged by that because I am so digital these days. Kind of wish it was downloadables, but still, any money saved is money earned, right? Or something like that. What's the old phrase? How's it go? Something like that. Finally, Sony tried to copyright the term Let's Play, and the other day we had Veronica Belmont on the morning show talking about this very issue, and in the discussion it came up that this was probably not Sony thinking that they could do this. There's a little bit of prior art out there. People have been saying Let's Plays since people started putting things on YouTube with them playing video games. PewDiePie alone's probably used the term 50 billion times. I don't know. So for them to do that seemed a little brash. And since people are calling them that when they stream things from PlayStation, maybe they thought, well, hey, they're doing it from here. We could just sneak in, see if we can get away with it. And that's what I think happened. This isn't Sony flexing their muscle and saying, look at us, aren't we rad? This is Sony's lawyers saying, hey, we may as well try. We stand nothing to lose except the loyalty of our customers who think this is a dick move. But yeah, that's how that went down. So I don't think they're going to get it. Well, it did get turned down. Judge turned it down since I first saw the article. So it looks like it's all a done deal. But come on, Sony, really? Let's Play. You gonna trademark that? Not copyright, trademark. I keep saying copyright. You can't copyright that. We talked about the comparison, like, if Microsoft had, let's see. So they have the term Halo is trademarked by them. But if somebody made a game called Halo of Zivervia or something, or the Lost Halo of Zontar, some like fantasy game, where you gotta go get Zontar's Halo he lost, right? You could do that. That's totally legal. They can't trademark every use of the word because it's just an English word that can be used in other things. But you can't have a game straight up called Halo. So in theory, this was going to say, if you say let's play on your video, you would be violating Sony's terms of service or Sony's right to protect that trademark or whatever. And dude, give me a break. That's a terrible idea. And man, am I glad it didn't freaking happen. Let's do emails. All right, we dig into the mailbag nice and deep. Nice and deep, yo. We pull out a couple. I got a call and an email here. These come to us at 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Leave us voicemails. They've slowed way down since the first of the year. I know you're all busy. You got your gym memberships now and you're freaking whatever it is you're doing with your year. I totally understand. But take a minute. Call it in. Let me know what you're thinking about the state of the business. Did you order an Oculus Rift? Did you pre-order one? Are you excited about VR as a gamer? Whatever else is on your mind. Also, boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. Your attachments and written messages are welcome. Let's get right into an email from Paul G, who says this. Hey, Scott, hearing you talk about pricing for the Rift on a few shows, and I had a thought about that. Essentially, the Rift acts like a monitor for your PC, right? The motion sense stuff there is part of it, but it really could be a new display interface for your PC. How much is a good PC monitor these days? I mean, a good gaming one that does things like G-Sync, 120 hertz to 144 hertz and all that stuff. Most of those are $600+, sometimes lots more, and lots of cheaper options. But sure, when the LCD first hit, they were pricey too. The price is high to start, but I don't think unreasonable. There will be even cheaper options down the road, definitely. Look how long it took LCDs and even now things like 4K TVs. Just a thought. I'm not buying one because I can't afford it right now, but the price actually makes sense. Thanks, Paul. That's actually a good point. I hadn't thought about it. VR as replacement display. I don't know. I'm trying to think how that works with, like, you know, StarCraft or League of Legends or something. Like, do you really want to look at it that way? Or with your head? Can it be static that way? I don't know how those work. I've never tried a traditional game on it. You bring up a really good point. So I don't know what their use is in terms of can it just be flipped over and used that way. Someone needs to write in about that and tell us.
Yes, hello. This is Kylo Ren. I was just wondering where the Boop Show has been. The Stormtroopers and I really get a kick out of that in the mess hall. And we've noticed you have had no new Boop Shows recently. Thank you.
I will finish what you started.
Yeah, you need to just chill. I did one last week. What are you talking about? The show's being made, so calm down. But I need real calls, damn it. 801-471-0462, boopshow@gmail.com. While you're at it, help a brother out. Check out our friends at squarespace.com. That's squarespace.com. They can help you make that website for your Pokemon fan videos, whatever it is you want to do. That's just one example, all right? There's plenty of other examples. Let's say you're doing a playthrough of, an in-depth, deep-dive playthrough of Life is Strange, which I finally picked up the last three episodes of because I never finished it. Well, what an opportunity. Go over to Squarespace, pick one of their amazing templates, use all the tools that are designed to make it easy for you. You don't have to be a coder. It's a piece of freaking cake. They've been around long enough to know exactly what you want, and they're improving it all the time. Go to squarespace.com right now and use the code BOOP, that's B-O-O-P, at checkout. And they're going to save you 10% on your account. That's boop at checkout at squarespace.com. At Squarespace, build it beautiful. All right. That's going to do it for the show, guys. Thanks for being here. Frogpants.com/boop is the email address or the web address. All the stuff is there, okay? That email I keep mentioning, the phone number, it's all there. Boop Show on Twitter. If you'd like to support the show in other ways, you can certainly do that at the Patreon for Frogpants. It's patreon.com/frogpants. And every little bit helps. So give a little, give a lot, give what you can. Oh, and if you join that, by the way, now, and if you already are involved in the Patreon, you are automatically in our big Slack group, which is pretty rad, right? So come hang out in Slack. It's an automatic ticket in there, and we're all having fun. So there's that. Frogpants.reddit.com is our subreddit. I think that's going to do it. Thank you all for being here. There'll be another show coming up soon. You're all wonderful human beings, and we'll see you then. Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.